Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Mary DeVries, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is Mary, a mathematician, and you can never say never again. They absolutely hate absolutes. One of the drawbacks of marrying a mathematician is you can never use the word never again. Always best, favorite, worst, all, none, everybody and only are on shaky ground as well. Instead, you need to embrace words like almost, many, one of, frequently and rarely. I learned early on that a comment like, "You never load the dishwasher," was not going to lead to a reasoned debate about the equitable distribution of household chores, nor even into a fight about the same. No, it would lead straight to a dispassionate recollection of that one time he loaded the dishwasher 2 years ago, thus rendering the entire statement untrue. That's a terrible example anyway, because loading the dishwasher is his favorite chore. It's a dynamic puzzle-solving problem, different every time. I'm happy to let him have all the fun, except for the fact that he feels like it is cheating to run it with any unused space, so my favorite spatula is never clean when I want it. But I digress. Another thing mathematicians can't stand. If you find yourself on a first date with a mathematician, for the love of God, don't ask him what his favorite movie is. You'll spend the rest of the meal listening to the sound of your own chewing as he ponders this challenging question and does his best to give you the correct answer. Unless you end up with the talkative type. Mathematicians come in two varieties, or as they would say, binary options. The first type will do all their calculating internally and wait to speak until the answer is complete. The second type is going to bring you along on the mental journey they are traveling as they ponder the question. In this case, you are soon going to know way more than you wanted to about all the movies they have seen. No, you have to dial it back from the absolute when you are conversing with a mathematician. What is one of your favorite movies? What is a book you enjoyed reading? All three children inherited his brains. This is awesome, of course, except for the allergic reaction to absolute statements. What's the best thing that happened in school today? I asked cheerfully at the dinner table, only to be met with six staring eyes. Right, I think to myself. How could I forget? I rephrase. What's something that happened in school today? Usually, they could come up with a story worth sharing once the pressure was off to pick the best thing. One night, the youngest was stumped. Apparently, nothing worth noting had happened in school. We moved on. "Does anyone have homework tonight?" I asked as we started to clear the table. "My English teacher didn't give us any on account of the rat in our classroom," my youngest said cheerfully. "Rat? What rat?" The rest of us exploded with questions. "Oh, there was a rat that ran across the floor and she screamed and climbed onto her desk and we all laughed and some people freaked out, but not me." The follow-up questions flowed freely. Once all the details had been extracted, my eldest turned to her in exasperation. "Why didn't you tell this story when Mom asked what the best thing was that happened in school? For once, you actually had the best thing story." She shrugged. "I don't know. I guess I forgot." Arguing with a mathematician is fraught with peril. "You always" is destined to derail the conversation completely. Political debates get me into trouble as well. It's not that we disagree politically. I lean slightly more left, but for the most part, we are on the same page. The problem is I will head off on a topic and launch into hyperbole rather naturally. He will challenge not the substance of my overall argument, but the absolute terms I am likely to throw out left, right, and center. It's a challenge for my hot-headedness, but it requires me to support any strong statement I make. He's forced me to become a better thinker, and by extension, a better writer as well. Just don't tell him I said that. In fairness, there are some serious positives to marrying a mathematician. My role in filing our taxes each year involves fetching him the occasional cup of coffee and signing on the line when he is done. Also, our investments do quite well in general. If he tells me I look very nice today, I know I am smoking indeed. Mathematicians don't throw around qualifiers like that for nothing, you know. He'll never say, "You are the most beautiful woman in the world," but he does say, "You are the most beautiful woman in the world to me." I'll take it. We discussed marriage in theory for months before getting engaged. The word forever was a real sticking point. I believe marriage needs to be forever, but I can't wrap my mind around what that means. Forever doesn't have an end. I'm a finite being. How can I possibly comprehend forever? The day he proposed, I was not expecting it. It was my birthday, and as I opened the box with a diamond ring inside, I wasn't quite able to take in what I was seeing. "I still don't know what forever means," he said, looking into my eyes, "but I know that I want to spend it with you." Nobody has ever received a more romantic proposal. I absolutely guarantee it. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook. Or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.